One day up in heaven, God said to the men, I want you to form two lines. One line is for the men who were the head of the house. The other line is for the men who let the woman be the head of the house. The line where the woman ran the house was 100 miles long. The other line only had one man in it. God said, men, I'm ashamed of you. I created you to be the head, but only one man stood up to make me proud. He looked at the man and said, son, tell them, how did you manage to be the only one in this line? The man looked confused and said, I don't know. My wife told me to stand here. My dad used to say, I'm the head, but Dodie's the neck that turns the head. But anyway, here we go. Ready? What is it, y'all? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. God bless you. I want to talk to you today about seeing beyond the logical. On the way to your destiny, you will face dreams that you can't accomplish on your own. Obstacles that are too big for you. People that come against you that are more powerful. When you look at the situation in the natural and you reason it out, there's no way. The medical report says you can't get well. You don't have the funding for your dream. You've had the addiction for years. You tried, but you couldn't break it. All your logic says, just accept it. It's not meant to be. But this is what faith is all about. God will put you in situations on purpose where there is no solution in the natural. That's a test. Are you going to get discouraged and give up on your dreams? Or are you going to walk by faith and not by sight? Jesus said to Peter in Matthew 16, you are a dangerous trap to me, for you are seeing things only from a human point of view and not from God's. It's significant that he used such a strong word. He said, Peter, it's dangerous to look at it only from the logical. He could have said, Peter, you need to have more faith. You need to think a little better, be a little more positive. The reason he said dangerous is you can miss your destiny if you only look at things from a natural perspective. God is supernatural. When you get in agreement with him, there is a force behind you that will make things happen that you can't make happen. He will open doors that no person can shut. He will do what medicine cannot do. You will defeat giants that are much bigger. You are not doing life on your own. The Most High God is breathing in your direction. All he needs is a little faith. God, I don't see a way. All my reasoning says this is not going to happen, but I know you have a way. God, I don't have the funding for my dream, but I know you own it all. God, my child's off course. Doesn't look good, but I believe as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Don't be limited by your logic. Logic can be a dream stealer. If you look at your situation only from a human point of view, what you can do, your resources, your connections, your experience, then you're going to miss the greatness God put in you. The book of Genesis talks about how God created the heavens and the earth. On the first day, he said, let there be light, and light came. The second day, he separated the waters from the sky. Third day, he created plants and trees. The fourth day, he made the sun and the moon. What's interesting is there was light on the first day, but he didn't make the sun until the fourth day. How can you have light without the sun? God was showing us he's not logical, he's supernatural. He's going to do things in your life that are unexplainable, that don't make sense. How could my mother still be alive 41 years after being diagnosed with terminal cancer? That's not logical. That defies the odds. That's the God we serve. How could I be up here today? I didn't have the training, the experience. I've never been to seminary. But God doesn't choose the way we choose. He does things that are uncommon, unusual, out of the ordinary. How could we be having church in the former Compaq Center, a basketball arena? The company that was against us, trying to get the facility, was the largest taxpayer in Texas, a huge real estate company. It was David versus Goliath. They had more connections, more funds, more experience. But God is not intimidated by the size of your problem. He's not losing sleep over who's against you. One angel in the Old Testament defeated 185,000 of the enemies of Israel. God being for you is more than the world being against you. You may have some big obstacles, but you have to remind yourself, we serve a big God. Sometimes He'll let the odds be against you on purpose, so when He turns it around, it will be a bigger miracle. When we were trying to acquire the Compaq Center, a very influential leader in our city was at a banquet with a good friend of mine. He didn't know my friend knew me. He laughed and said very sarcastically, "It'll be a cold day in hell before Lakewood gets the Compaq Center." And every time I drive up to our building, see the Lakewood sign, I think it must be a cold day in hell because here we are today. The promises God has put in your heart, what He's whispered to you in the night, may not seem possible. It's too big. It's never happened for your family. You don't have the experience. All your logic says there's no way. But that's okay. Jesus said in Matthew 19, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Here's the question. Are you going to let your human reasoning, what you can see, what's natural, set the limits for your life? Or are you going to see beyond the logical? Are you going to believe that the all-powerful creator of the universe, the God who flung stars into space, the God who parts red seas, the God who brings light without a sun, will make a way where you don't see a way? I want to show you an example. I had these Roman numerals here, I and X. I in Roman numerals is 1 and X is 10. When the smaller number is in front of a larger number, then you subtract the smaller. So 10 minus 1 is 9. My question is, with one stroke of the pen, can you make this 6? If you put another I, that would make it 8. You can't put 2, just one stroke. V in Roman numerals is 5. If you put a V there, that would make it 4. That wouldn't work out. There are no more options. How do you make it 6? Here's how. I'm going to draw the letter S, 6. See, I had you thinking Roman numerals. You were limited to one way. That's the way it is with God. We think natural. God is supernatural. We don't see a way. God steps in and says, I'm supernatural. My ways are not your ways. We come to a dead end at the Red Sea. God, I'm done. I have nowhere to go. God says, you're not done. I part Red Seas. I bring water out of a rock. I open blind eyes. I make you fireproof in a furnace. Don't be limited by your logic. God defies logic. This is what happened with Mary. She was a teenager living in Nazareth, engaged to a young man named Joseph. An angel appeared, said, Mary, you're going to give birth to a son without knowing a man. You are to name him Jesus. The scripture says Mary was confused and disturbed. I can understand. God just gave her a promise that seemed impossible. You can't have a baby without a man. That defies the laws of nature. Mary said to the angel, how can I have a child? I'm a virgin. The angel said, the Spirit of the Most High will come upon you and cause you to conceive. The angel didn't get upset because she didn't believe. He didn't say, too bad, Mary, you blew it. God promised, but you didn't have enough faith. He simply helped her have a new perspective. He was saying, in effect, Mary, you're looking at it in the natural. You're right, it's not possible. In your ability, it won't happen, but the Spirit of God will make it happen. I believe God sent me like this angel to help you have the right perspective. There is a force that you can't see, a power that will cause the impossible to become possible. Mary was at a critical point. What she did next would determine whether or not she'd have the baby. She couldn't have said to the angel, I don't think so. You need to go back and take biology. You can't have a baby without a man. But Mary did what we all have to do. She looked beyond the logical. She didn't let her human reasoning talk her out of it. She said to the angel, be it unto me, even as you have said. She was saying, I don't see how. It seems impossible. But God, I'm in agreement with you. Let it happen. Like with Mary, God is going to put promises in your heart that don't make sense. There's no way you can get well. No way you can get that business off the ground. No way you can have a baby. You've been through all the treatments. You've been told no again and again. You're right where Mary was. Are you going to keep seeing it only from a human point of view? Or are you going to get in agreement with God? Believe what the angel said. How can this happen? It's not going to be your own strength, your own intellect, your own hard work. The Spirit of the living God is going to make it happen. It's going to be supernatural, something you can't explain. You can't take credit for it. Everyone will know it's the hand of God. I talked to a man that had cancer on his vocal cords, and he was in town for surgery at MD Anderson. He came to church and asked us to pray. The doctors were going to remove most of his vocal cords, and he was told that he would be able to make sounds, but he wouldn't be able to talk again. From a human perspective, it didn't look good. The odds were against him. But I told him what I'm telling you, that God has the final say. He controls the universe. When we believe, all things are possible. A couple of weeks later, he was back at church. He came up to me talking just as clearly as I'm talking to you. I said, what happened? You didn't have the surgery? He smiled real big and said, yes, I had the surgery, but I can still talk like before. 90% of his vocal cords were removed and he can still talk normally. The doctors can't explain it. The surgeon said in all of his years practicing, he's never seen or heard of this. That's God bringing light without a son, bringing a baby without a man. Jesus said to the Pharisees in John 8, you judge me with all your human limitations. Don't put your human limitations on the God who spoke worlds into existence. God is not limited by the laws of medicine, the laws of economics, the laws of nature, the laws of science. When he's ready to bless you, he doesn't check with your boss. He doesn't look at your 401k. He doesn't Google the stock market report. He doesn't see what friends you have, what family you come from. He's not moved by the natural. He's supernatural. When the Israelites were in the desert, they complained to Moses that they didn't have any meat to eat. They were tired of eating manna every day. So Moses went to God, said, God, these people want meat. You know I can't get that out here in the desert. God said, in effect, Moses, that's no problem for me. I'll give you meat for a whole month. Moses said, God, that's impossible. Do you know where we are? If we butchered all of our flocks, all of our herds, we wouldn't have enough meat for these 2 million people, even for one meal. There were no grocery stores out there, no farms where they could buy food, no Uber Eats, no Domino's delivery. From a logical perspective, Moses was right. But God defies logic. He's not limited by what limits us. One touch of his favor and the impossible becomes possible. God shifted the winds and caused millions of quail to fly in their camp. They were 3 or 4 feet off the ground. People grabbed all they wanted. For a month, they had steak dinners out in the middle of the desert. What's significant is quail don't normally fly that far away from water. You'd never find a quail out in the middle of the desert, but God controls the universe. If you'll take the limits off of him, he'll cause opportunity to find you. Good breaks will chase you down. The right people will come knocking at your door. Don't do like Moses and tell God all the reasons you can't be blessed, you can't get well, you can't accomplish your dreams. You're studying the facts, the circumstances, what people say, what normally happens. The problem is you're being limited by your logic. You're seeing it only from a human point of view. God says that's dangerous. You can miss your quail. You can miss your compact center. You can miss your healing. Have a new perspective. God, I'm in the desert. It seems impossible to me, but I know
you can do the impossible.
You make rivers in the desert. You turn shepherds into kings. You bring babies out of barren wombs. You open doors that are deadbolted. The scripture says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? I was out riding my bike the other day down this long path toward downtown. And I saw a young man on a skateboard about a couple hundred yards in front of me. And I rode about 5 minutes and noticed that I wasn't gaining on him. I thought, that's strange. I'm on this large bike with big wheels. I'm pedaling fast. He's on that little skateboard, 3-inch wheels, and yet he's outpacing me. At one point, we were both going up this large hill. He was just scooting along, no problem. I was huffing, puffing, trying to get up the hill. He was doing it with such ease. Didn't make sense to me. We went our separate ways, and about 30 minutes later, I saw him sitting on a park bench, and he had his skateboard turned over on the side. What I didn't realize is his skateboard had a motor on it. He had the remote control in his hand. He was cheating. The reason he was going faster, further, with less effort, is he had an advantage. He had something that I couldn't see. In the same way, as a child of the Most High, you have an advantage. There is a force breathing in your direction that's going to cause you to defy the odds. You're going to go further, faster, with less struggle. People are going to look at you and not understand it. Think, how could you get out of that neighborhood? I saw how you were raised. They're looking at it from a human point of view. What they can't see is you have a motor, an anointing, a favor, a blessing on your life. How could you lead your company in sales? You don't have the experience. Logically speaking, they're correct. But what God is going to do in your life will defy the logic. How can you beat that sickness? I saw the medical report. Yes, but there's another report that you can't see. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my healer, is breathing life into me. Don't judge your future by your human limitations. What God is about to do in your life is going to amaze you. The doors he's about to open, the influence he's going to give you, the resources, the ideas, the creativity, the divine connections. Now, the enemy would love to keep you stuck with a limited mindset, only focused on the logical. Joel, I don't have the funds. My back's been hurting for years. My child's off course. My boss won't treat me right. I don't come from an influential family. Do you think that can stop your destiny? That the God who breathed life into you, who chose you before you could choose him, is somehow at a loss of how to bring you into your purpose? Or could it be that you're seeing things only from a human perspective? My prayer is, God, open our eyes. Help us to see what you see, not just a logical point of view, but a heavenly perspective. Help us to realize that you are all powerful, that you are in control, and that you are for us. Acts chapter 27, the Apostle Paul had been on a boat for 14 days headed toward Rome when it was shipwrecked. They all swam to the shore on this small island. Paul went over to pick up some sticks to make a fire, and a poisonous snake bit his wrist, latched on and wouldn't let it go. The teeth were penetrating the skin, the venom going in. The natives on the island knew exactly what was going to happen. They had seen it time and time again. When someone was bitten, the scripture says they would swell up, get sick, and die. The natives waited and waited and waited. The problem was nobody told Paul he was supposed to die. And sometimes what you don't know is good for you. If you get a negative report and you overanalyze it, reason it out, study it all day, that's going to take your faith. That's why the scripture says, lean not to your own understanding. Take this in the right sense, but sometimes you have to turn your mind off. Faith is not of the mind, faith is of the heart. Yes, we should use common sense, make good decisions, but don't let your logic talk you out of what God put in your heart. God told Paul that he was going to stand before Caesar. Paul simply shook the snake off and went about his business. Never did affect him.
The people on the island were so amazed, they thought he was a god. But if Paul would have made the mistake of seeing it only from a logical, human point of view, knowing that he had just been bitten by a deadly snake, he would have been worried, afraid. What am I going to do? Maybe the venom would have harmed him. Maybe he would have gotten sick. When things come against you, it's easy to look at it only in the natural. Look at this medical report. What are we going to do? My business had a setback. My child got in trouble. But you have to remind yourself, God is still on the throne. Nothing can snatch you out of his hands. He wouldn't have allowed it if he didn't already have a solution. We knew a man growing up named Casey. He owned a business that moved houses. One day they had traveled several hours down this country road, moving this house, having to raise the power lines, move signage to clear the way. They finally made it to their destination. Casey realized they had forgotten their main chain that they needed to unload the house. It was several hours back to the city. It's late in the day. He didn't want to leave the house on the side of the road. He told his men that he was going to pray and ask God to give him a chain. They kind of snickered, said sarcastically, "What are you going to do? Pray that God rains down a chain from heaven?" They all laughed and made fun. Casey said, "God, I know there's nothing too hard for you. I don't see how this can happen in the natural. Nothing in my logic says this makes sense, but I know you're supernatural. You have ways we've never thought of, so I'm asking you to give me a chain." All of his men were rolling their eyes. But Jesus said, "Don't judge me with your human limitations. Don't put me in the same category of what you can do. I'm all powerful." When you're not limited by your logic, you'll pray bold prayers. You'll shake off a snake like Paul, a bad break, and go about your business. You'll believe for your compact centers, for your dreams, for what looks unlikely. And Casey and his men were standing on the side of this country road. There was a big curve right in front of them, out in the middle of nowhere, trying to figure out what they were going to do next. About that time, this old beat-up pickup truck came barreling down the road, going way too fast. It had its tailgate open. When it took that sharp curve, a chain slung out of the back of the bed, slid across the road, curled up right at Casey's feet. He picked it up and said, "Here's my chain, boys. Let's go to work." Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Are you basing your prayers on your ability, your connections, your finances from a natural, logical point of view? You're going to miss the fullness of what God has in store. It's dangerous to limit him to only what you think can happen. Take the limits off. Pray some bold prayers. Dream some big dreams. If you can accomplish your dream in your own ability, with your connections, your finances, then your dream is too small. God has things in your future that you haven't seen, levels that you haven't imagined. When you don't limit him by the logical, when you believe, even when your mind says, "That's too far out," you'll never get well, never start your business, never see your family restored. All the odds are against you, then you're in perfect position for God to show out in your life, to do something that you've never seen. God told Abraham and Sarah that they were going to have a baby, but they were both way too old. When Sarah heard it, the scripture says she laughed and said, "How could a worn out woman like me have a baby?" She thought, "That's so far out. It's funny. It's comical. Me have a child?" Sarah did what many of us do. She looked at it only in the natural. In her human reasoning, she was right. You can't have a baby at 80 years old. But when God puts a promise in your heart, when he whispers something to you in your spirit, it may seem unlikely, far out, you could easily dismiss it. Try a different approach. Do like Mary. "God, let it happen. I'm in agreement with you. I don't see how, but I'm not going to limit you to my human point of view." When Sarah was 99 years old, against all odds, she gave birth to a child. The scripture says she laughed again and said, "God has brought me laughter, and all who hear about this will laugh with me." She even named her son Isaac, which means laughter. The first time she laughed in unbelief, thinking there's no way. The second time she laughed in amazement, thinking, look what the Lord has done. In the past, you may have laughed in unbelief, thinking what God promised you could never come to pass. You discounted it. It's too late, Joel. It's too big. It's impossible. The good news is that didn't stop the promise. I believe your second laugh is coming. God's about to do something so awesome, so big, that you're going to laugh in amazement. The second laugh is going to surprise you. It's going to be something out of the ordinary, something you can't explain, something that catapults you to a new level. Get ready. God is about to defy the odds. He's about to show out in your life. You haven't seen, heard, or imagined what He's about to do. Like Sarah, you're going to stand in awe at the greatness of our God. You wouldn't be hearing this if that second laugh wasn't on the way. Now do your part. Don't see things only from a human point of view. Don't let your logic limit what God wants to do. I'm not saying deny the facts, act like they don't exist. I'm saying see beyond the logical. Get a heavenly perspective. The Most High God is on your side. He has not forgotten what He promised you. He has the right people, the right breaks, the solutions already en route. If you'll do this, I believe and declare new doors are about to open. Sicknesses are turning around. Addictions are being broken. Healing, wholeness, abundance, the fullness of your destiny in Jesus' name. And if you receive it, can you say amen today? Amen. Let's pray together. If you have 5 minutes, stick with me. Lord, thank you for what we've heard today. I know it falls on great ground. Faithful people here at Lakewood, and many watching and listening. And Lord, we commit to you today. We're going to not limit you by our logic. Lord, we're going to take the limits off today. Show us areas, Lord, where we're limiting what you can do in our lives, where we're restricting your blessings and favor. And Lord, today we're going to look beyond our own ability. Lord, we recognize without you we can't do it, but with you we can do all things. So Lord, I just thank you for doing new things. Protect your people this week. Show them your favor. Let this seed stay alive on the inside. When it looks impossible, Lord, help us to remember to look up towards you. Lord, to remember that you're on the throne, that you didn't just do great things back in Bible days, but you're doing great things today. Parting Red Seas, taking us where we can't go on our own. Lord, we believe for it. Use us to be a bigger blessing wherever we go, in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed in prayer, just a quick question. If your heart stopped beating in the next few minutes, are you at peace with God? Do you know where you'd spend eternity? If not, I would love to pray with you. I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm here to help you find a new beginning. I know this comes from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In just a moment, if you're not at peace with the Lord, or maybe you are a Christian, but you've grown cold toward God, you know you need to rededicate. Recommit your life to Christ. You need a fresh new start. If that's you, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith and stand right where you are, and we'll pray together. I can't think of a better time to get on the road to victory than right now. God is not mad at you. Your sins have already been forgiven. All you have to do is accept the free gift of Christ's salvation. Will you do it this morning? The enemy in your thoughts will tell you, do it later. Do it another time. Listen, the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. You're not hearing this by accident. Well, Joel, it's embarrassing to stand in front of everyone. Listen to what Jesus said. If you won't be ashamed of me before people, then I won't be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. I'm going to give you a great opportunity to show God that you're not ashamed of Him. If you're not at peace with the Lord, or you just need to rededicate your life, you need a fresh new start, a new beginning. If that's you, would you be bold, take that step of faith, and stand right where you are, and we'll pray together. Would you do that? Come on, Lakewood, let's give them a hand as they stand all over the building. Come on, don't put it off. I feel like there ought to be a few more. Anybody else? Take a step of faith today. Get on the road to victory. Watching, listening. Just slip your hand up. Up top, anybody else? Don't be left out. Still time for you. Anybody else? Well, God bless you. And please remain standing if you don't mind. Let me tell you how proud we are of you. I know that took courage to stand. More importantly, I know the angels are rejoicing in the heavens. It's going to be a new beginning in your life. The scripture says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let me help you to call. Would you all pray this with me, everyone that's listening, if you don't mind? Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. Amen. Remain standing one more moment. I want to tell you how much we love you. We're going to be praying for you. I also want to give you a personal invitation and a challenge to come back and be with us on a regular basis. We ask new believers, give us the next year of your life. Make it a priority, just like you go to work, that you're going to be here, whether in person, however you do it, online, but you're going to be here every time you can. I'll make a promise. Before the year is over, your life will never be the same for the better. We're going to help you grow and become all God's created you to be. There's a class right after service in here, in person right over here. It's called New Beginnings. You can take it online as well. It's also a class for marriages after this service right up there. And there's a class for women. A lot of things we can help you with online as well. But know this, the moment you stood up, God washed away all your sins, your mistakes, your failures. You are starting with a fresh, clean slate. Write it down in your Bible, April 3rd, 2022, a new day of victory in your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, let's all stand together if you would, please. Thanks so much for coming out today. How many of you are going home better off than you were before? Amen. Well, we love you. I want to speak a blessing. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord show you His favor and have mercy on you. And may the Lord watch over you and give you His peace. God bless you. Have a great week, a favor-filled week. We'll see you back real soon.
Thank you so much for waking up to hope with us this morning at Lakewood Church. As we always say here, you don't have to be in the room to be in the family. So for you in your living room, your hotel room, your hospital room, wherever life may find you today, we hope you received that great word, that message of hope, that incredible moment of worship, and the segment by Pastor Craig Johnson. That was so incredible. Tell us a little bit more about what went into that message about just being on frequency, not barely missing the mark, but being able to hear from God.
Well, one thing I do have to say about Pastor's message, okay?
Yeah.
In 24 years, that may be the first illustration I've ever seen him do.
Yeah.
Right? Wasn't that cool?
So cool.
Yeah,
so cool.
And it was worth the wait. That was amazing. Hey, you know, I think that people all the time are struggling to hear from God.
Yeah.
And they're trying to find God's voice. They're trying to find their purpose, find that direction.
Yeah.
And, you know, just giving people some tools on how you can come into agreement and the power behind that is so key. And I think sometimes, you know, we forget that when we speak the word of God, you know, that's like speaking with God's voice.
Yeah.
What Pastor talks to us all the time about when he says, hey, I want you to speak words over you of faith, of hope, and different things like that. That's speaking God's language, man. I mean, he comes to attention right there. And then I think also, you know, when you're talking about your prayer time, your devotional life, you hear me say this over and over. You've heard me say this so many times. But it's been so real in my life. Your devotional life will dictate your emotional life.
Yes, so good.
How you view things, how you look at life, what your perspective is on that day. You know, it was a game changer for me when I began to put Jesus first place every day.
Amazing.
And it's okay if you don't, you know. It's just the Bible says seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all those things will be added to you. So, you know, any time that I think I heard the young adults one time do a sermon in the first 15 minutes.
Yeah, the first 15. That was a big theme for, gosh, a couple of years ago, and it was like everybody was in on it.
Yeah.
And they would post on Instagram, this was my hashtag first 15.
Yeah, man, first 15 minutes. Wake up 15 minutes early. You know, driving on your way to work, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
If you'll put God first, what does Pastor say?
Oh,
says God, He'll take you to places you never dreamed.
Yes.
And I just think it's so key, Terry, that we begin to find ways to come in agreement with God, because there are so many voices vying for our attention right now.
You know, I think that I've been so many times, as you illustrated so beautifully in that example, just one tick to the left, one tick to the right. Am I going to church? Yes. Am I trying my best to be a great husband and father? Yes. I'm doing the right things, right? But getting in agreement with God, like you just spoke to there, is speaking favor over your situation, looking past the fear to find faith, getting that devotional life that'll dictate our emotional life. And so just as an encouragement to you, global Lakewood family, wherever you might be tuning in from, find that time, connect with God, put him first place in your life. Matthew 6:33 does say, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's where your wildest dreams come true. That's where you live a life that you could have never imagined. Another thing that I'll steal from Pastor Craig, one thing this man told me that changed my life was, a good idea makes you say, how did I think of that? But a God idea makes you say, I could have never thought of that. God will take your life to a whole new level, friends.
Yeah, no doubt. And I just want to encourage you right now. There's power in agreement. There's power. We just brought our prayer partners back this weekend.
Yes, okay? So amazing.
Why do we do that? Because there's power in agreement. And when two or three gather together in my name, God is at work in your midst. So I want to encourage you right now. Begin to agree, begin to pray, begin to put God first place in your life. Speak God's word over your life. Begin to give God praise. And here's another key way I said, give thanks in everything. When you give thanks in everything, God will show up, whether you're on the mountaintop or in the valley.
Amen. Amazing. Thank you so much, Pastor Craig.
It's my
honor.
We
love you so much.
Love you.
You know, one thing I love about Pastor Craig is his humility. Before he even got into his illustration, he's like, wait, I got to honor Pastor Joel and his incredible illustration. And he's right. In 24 years of him being senior pastor of this church, I think that might have been the first time we saw an illustration of that magnitude. So incredible. Listen, I want to give some shout outs. I got to show some love across the world. This just came in Maryland and San Diego, California. That is probably the most gorgeous city in America. Hello, Maryland. God bless you. We're praying for you. Violet in the Philippines. Hey, Violet, we love you so much, and we're extending favor to the Philippines on behalf of this house. Chase, tuning in all the way from Nigeria. Hey, Chase, how you doing? God bless you, brother. We got Dennis tuning in from India. Hello to India. God bless you. We're praying for you. Lauren, tuning in from sunny Hawaii. Lauren, we love you. Thank you so much for waking up to hope with us today. Jenny in New York. Hey, Jenny, we love New York. We just are praying for you and your family out there. Thanks for tuning in. And Casey in Kentucky. Of course, there are so many more people tuning in from so many more places and other ends of the earth. These are just a few that come to mind in the moment. Want to make sure that we take every opportunity to extend love. So if ever you're tuning in and you want to just represent your city, your state, your nation, your continent, let us know where you're tuning in from. We absolutely love to see it. We love that reminder of the places that hope is spreading to. And we just speak favor and victory over every single place that we hear from. So it's always fun to give you a little love. Listen, I want to remind you, Pastor Joel's new book is out. It's called Rule Your Day. It's incredible. I'm a little biased because I love my pastor, but I'm also just really grateful and speaking from a very honest place as a person who has taken it in and written on the tablet of my heart. Let me tell you, it is a game changer to rule your day and not let your day rule you. Another promise that Pastor Joel gives us is this: give us a year of your life. Your life will never be the same for the better. So I challenge you, I encourage you, I welcome you to stand on this. We're 2 weeks from Easter. Between now and Easter of 2023, so not just the next 2 weeks, but the next year, show up to church as best you can. Maybe you find yourself here in Houston, Texas, and you can come home to Hope. Be here with us in the building. Maybe just tune in online from wherever you find yourself and just wake up to Hope with us. But do this for a year, and you'll see where God will honor that diligence, that faithfulness, and he'll see to it that he takes your life to new levels. Your life will never be the same for the better. Thank you for tuning in. God bless you. We love you here at Lakewood, and we're praying for you.